way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Pilots became nothing. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Martin. Today we're discussing Ice, Jimmy, which was produced to be part of the 2001 season for NBC, but never aired. It stars John Livingston, Leland Orser, Judy Greer, Finn Carter, and Michael Jetta.
Yes. It was written by Daniel Payne, who up to this point had written for Miami Vice, The Equalizer, and he wrote the movies Doc Hollywood, The Hard Way, and Pacific Heights. And co-written by Jim Leonard, who went on to write for Dexter and Ray Donovan. And it was directed by Ian Ames, who had directed music videos for Pink Floyd and Duran Duran, and also directed the comic strip movie The Yob.
I am not familiar with that one.
It's one of their, it's one of the more popular ones. It's a play on the movie The Fly, where a scientist gets his DNA mixed with that of a football hooligan.
That sounds better than this pilot.
Anything sounds better than this pilot. A kick in the testicles sounds better than this pilot. So, Martin, what did you think of this pilot?
Well, I thought it was quite clever how nothing actually happened. I laughed once, and I shall point out where that was.
I didn't laugh one single time.
No, one single time. I laughed. It was lovely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember those days when we used to laugh at things, that not just pretending to laugh at my guests. Yeah, what is this? What is this supposed to be?
This is what you do when you get given a list of pilots and Jimmy says, no, I'm doing that with someone I like better than you. No, that one's not available online anymore. No, we're definitely not doing the Ron Moore police witchcraft one that you actually watched.
I haven't watched it.
I have.
Yeah, but not... I haven't yet. We'll do that one next if I can find it, Martin. Right. Listen to me. I did not say I was doing an episode of someone I like better than you.
Oh, so you're saving the good ones for people you don't like as much as me. Thanks.
What good ones? What good pilots? There's none. This entire podcast is a sham, Martin.
And by your listening figures, I think the audience clocked that before we did.
Yes, they did. Yes. Also, fuck you, man.
Shall we talk about Ice?
Yes. Ice, baby. At the George Herbert Walker Bush Antarctic Research Facility, a bunch of idiots and arseholes await the arrival of the son of the Secretary of the Interior. Whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's like the Home Office, I think.
Is it?
Sort of.
Yeah. It's because of this that boss Chase refuses to let Chef Angie leave, because she just wants to go, because she's sick of the place, and I don't blame her. He lies to her that she can leave, and then locks her in her room. That's nice.
It starts, and I don't think any other comedy has actually done this before, with, a piss take of the opening to Star Trek. Hilarious.
Yeah. It also starts with a false this week on thing.
Yeah.
Where it does show what's this week is, but it's acting as though that it's, you know, continuing adventures of.
Which is good, because that means you don't have to watch the rest of the episode. I know I didn't.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't blame you this time, Martin. I would not blame you this time, mate. Right. So, Kleng. His name's Kleng for some reason. But I'm going to call him Generically Handsome White Man Bot 2000. He flirts with the research center's doctor, who should really, you know, file a sexual harassment suit against this man.
Yes.
Throughout the entire pilot, Chase talks to their guest, Isaac Hamilton, or Ike, about funding that he'd like to talk to his father about. And my writing is atrocious, but I really don't give a shit. And he also tries to get rid of a couple of existing scientists out of their lab for Isaac to have a lab, because he's trying to butter Isaac up because of his dad. But Isaac's like, no, I'm quite happy just living as a little closet. That's fine. So, Martin, do you want to maybe say something about this so far? Because I'm the only one speaking.
Well, I was just Googling actual Arctic research bases, and I have to say that the people stationed there don't seem to be nearly as attractive as the people in the program.
Yes.
What did you think of the bit where she goes to the freezer and goes, "There's no ice"?
Hilarious. And then Michael Jeter comes in and bends over so he can get a thermometer up his bum. Funny. Funny AF, as the kids say these days. No, it's not very funny at all. So how far in did you actually have a genuine laugh?
We're not there yet. No, we might be. When the chef is saying that she wants to leave, and then someone just walks around the corner and just goes, "Hey, what's cooking?" And she just punches him in the face. That did make me chicker.
Chicker? Yes. And now Fried and tell Kling, that's his name, that Isaac pulled strings to get there. Apparently, he jilted a supermodel at the altar. And one of the wankers, whose name I didn't catch, and also I wrote workers, but I misread it as wankers, but that still suits. But he's got blue hair. He wants to get revenge on Isaac for dumping the supermodel, despite not actually having anything to do with the supermodel. Because that's comedy, I'm guessing.
Somehow.
Yeah. Isaac cleans out a closet to move in, and Danny Elfman type music plays for some reason. It's all woo 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 woo. Just, I see. Right, this is a wee pet peeve I have with comedy shows, Martin.
Yeah.
Music that is constantly there. It's not too bad in this, but there's some comedy shows that always have like type music all the way through, like to show you that it's like simple and, you know, not to be taken seriously and funny. One of the main offenders I found, well, many years ago, was Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
That used to do that constantly. There was always music playing through Ugly Betty, and it was always that jaunty music.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop trying to tell us that we're supposed to find this, you know, cute or funny or whatever. Just let us watch the bloody thing. Can you think of any other examples of that? Or am I just talking pish?
No, I know what you mean, but it's, yeah. You don't need it wall to wall, do you?
No. I've never watched many episodes, but Desperate Housewives used to do it.
Yeah.
Right, so he meets the doctor, Isaac meets the doctor, who tells him that she's not impressed with who he is, despite the fact he never asked her to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she also tells him that he's got a big ego, despite the fact that he hasn't shown that.
Is this a bit where she's describing the supermodel and be like, oh, not a hair on her body, perfect, you know, perfect body, and all that. And you're like, you're describing yourself, love.
The doctor is played by Finn Carter, who is probably best known for being in the movie Tremors, starring Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
So she has 1 degree of Kevin Bacon. Yeah, but she looks different in that movie. I mean, that movie was 11 years before this, but she looks different in that movie. Angie is annoyed that she has to stay and says that she's not cooking, as her contract says that she just has to prepare it. Now, people before she says this, people are already eating out of tins. So they know this already. She's already decided this. But because we have to hear it as an audience, she says it like 10, 20 minutes after when she probably would have said it in real life.
Yeah.
But hey-ho.
Hey-ho.
Yeah. Isaac goes to the cafeteria and we discover that he and Angie used to date in college, but he dumped her.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's almost entirely a character piece. And yet, there's no character.
Yeah.
It's so incredibly flat. It's quite a ballsy move, really. I mean, who would you say is your favourite character? Because I'm going with the Penguin.
Yeah, I'd go with the Penguin as well. I forgot to mention the Penguin. The Penguin is the star of the show.
One of the most important things a pilot has to do is show how it's going to generate stories on a weekly basis. A story engine, if you will. And this did not have one.
No.
I mean, I thought it was quite clever in so much as you've built your sets. There's nowhere else for anyone to go, so it's probably quite cheap from that perspective. Yeah. And like, I'm sure there are people who could write a very funny sitcom based in an ice station.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could say at least this wasn't about a family.
Yeah, that's true. There was no annoying kids.
That's season two, baby.
Yeah. The youngest character, I assume, is the Penguin. And it's also the best character in it. So, you know, they're mixing it up here with ice.
Yeah. Had a helicopter, though. That was fun.
Yeah. I do wonder what the set was like, because it is like a lot of snow. So I'm assuming it was a soundstage.
Yeah.
And fans blowing the snow about and stuff. Did we actually see the helicopter fly? Or
no.
No, it was just sitting there.
Yeah.
So they were in a soundstage. So no, I mean, the sets and everything is fine. It looks like what you'd expect a research facility to look like. Kind of drab. And despite the fact that we were watching it in a very crappy VHS copy that kept saying stereo at the corner for some reason.
That took me back.
No.
I've got a bit of nostalgia glee for tracking VHS players.
Tracking came up at the beginning as well, so that was like, oh, I remember that. It sort of took me away from how crap this pilot is. But yeah, it looks, the sets and everything are fine. I've got no problem with that. It's just that there's no, like you say, and this is the same with a lot of these pilots, Martin. It's like, how would they continue on with this? Because
yeah,
the thing they have is this bunch of people who don't really like each other in this enclosed space, and they probably think that that's enough, that they would just mine humour from that, but it's not enough.
To be fair, that is what they tell you in sitcom school.
Is it? Just stick a bunch of people who don't like each other in a room.
And take away their ability to leave.
Right.
And sometimes that works. You know, Steptoe and Son, you know?
Yeah.
I've never seen Steptoe and Son, but that's the example that people go to.
You've never seen Steptoe and Son?
No, it's kind of like Monty Python. It was one of those things that was repeated to death before I was born, and then when everyone kept going on about it, I'd never, you know, it was never actually shown anymore.
To be honest, I don't actually think I have seen, I think I've seen maybe one or two episodes of Steptoe and Son.
You've only seen one or two episodes of Steptoe and Son, and whoa.
I know, how dare I? But I have seen a lot of Monty Python.
I always liked Dad's Army.
Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
That's in one place.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people who don't like each other.
And can't leave.
Well, they can leave, but they don't.
Yeah.
Directly handsome white man bot 2000 claims to be a sexologist and says that Angie will feel better if Isaac rubs her back. And she storms off. What was that?
I have no idea.
She'll feel better if you rub her back. Okay. All right, okay. Did you just want to see someone rub Angie's back?
Well, the internet in 2001, much harder to find specific back rub porn.
True.
Especially if you're in an Arctic research station.
But this is coming from a man who claims that a penguin is in love with him and keeps following him around, so.
Probably for the best, he can't find those websites.
Yeah. And a man who's constantly sexually harassing the doctor. Dr. Whiting, who is studying the effects of extreme cold on the human metabolism, wakes Isaac up with a frozen fish, and he's asking him for advice. Whatever, who cares? Isaac notices his stuff is missing and confronts genetically handsome white man bot 2000. After finding out his stuff is outside, he then confronts and yells at Dr. Chase. So Isaac's just gone around shouting at everyone.
What was that whole bit where they decided to run outside naked?
Oh yeah, Dr. Whiting, because he's testing the effects of extreme cold on the human metabolism, because he thinks that if the human body cools down to a certain temperature, then you get an extra 10 years on your life. So he's testing it by running outside naked in the snow.
And then having a thermometer take his temperature.
Yeah, up his backside, yeah.
The medical way.
The medical way. Which is true.
No.
The medical way is the armpit. Everyone knows that. There's so much false antagonism here. It's none of it's organic. It's like everyone hates Isaac because he's new and because he's rich.
Yeah.
But until he starts getting annoyed at everyone and starts shouting at everyone, no one's really justified at getting annoyed at him.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So he's done nothing wrong, but people are saying that he's got a big ego and someone wants to take revenge on him for jilting a supermodel with the altar. I mean, it's not funny, Martin.
I didn't write it.
No, I know, because if you wrote it, it probably would be better.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I still haven't read that short story of yours, by the way. I keep forgetting, but I will. Sorry. I apologise. Chase looks for Kling, who is at Dr. Deborah's office, insisting that she checks him for a hernia. But she did that last month, so he's just been a creepy perv, and she tells him to leave. But if this show carried on, I'd like to think that they would make Kling more of a human being.
Yeah.
And less of a sex-starved, like, pervy man-bot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is being portrayed as one of the leads.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if he actually had some substance to his character.
I think that's true for all of them.
No, that's true, yeah. But Kling is the one who is, like, I mean, just later on, though, he shoves his boss up against the wall. So he physically assaults his boss.
I'm pretty sure they test for things like this before they send you to the Arctic for 6 months at a time.
Yeah, they should. But given this is a sitcom, and all these people probably have Misfit on their resume, then probably not. They're just like, oh, you're a Misfit. Oh, we'll just send you for the other Misfits up to this research station then. You'll have funny adventures that people would watch. So, Kling softens the Doctor up a bit, though, by saying that he built her a hot tub for her frozen feet. However, Dr. Chase says over the tannoy that the community hot tub is now open, leaving genetically handsome white man bot 2000 to get annoyed, that his plans to see the Doctor in a swimsuit and to seduce her have failed. So he goes on the warpath. The thing that made you laugh was towards the beginning of the episode.
It was all downhill from there.
In the cafeteria, Kling assaults Chase, who says the hot tub's now his, and that Kling has to tell the crew to leave Isaac alone, which he should be doing anyway, because, you know, Isaac did nothing to them. Isaac enters and tells everyone that he's a scientist who's there for science, like they all are. It doesn't work, and Kling just tells him that he's only there because of his father's money. Isaac goes to stay in the, I think, it's a tower, but I don't know what it actually is, but it's got a telescope in it. Telescope tower. He goes to stay in there, but Angie is already there, and she asks him why he keeps trying to ruin her life. Again, there's no real sign of that, because we don't know what actually happened between them. He assures her that he didn't know that she was even there. He admits to being a dirtbag and for dumping her for the supermodel. So what do you think of this scene then?
I'm trying not to, Jimmy. IMDb actually lists this as a TV movie.
Yeah, all the field pilots are listed as TV movies in IMDb.
Does that mean that it got aired at some point, or...?
No, it never aired. It just means that because they don't say failed pilot in IMDb, they just class it as a TV movie, even though it's 20 minutes long. But they're all like that, I found, doing this podcast. Or if it's just like a presentation, maybe like a 10-minute one, they're listed as shorts.
IMDb should just have a section that says failed pilots.
It should. There should be more about failed pilots online. There's some books available. I have one of them, but Ice wasn't in it. But yeah, there should be more about failed pilots, because even if the pilots are rubbish, I still find the whole thing fascinating.
Yeah.
Right, so in the hot tub, Dr. Chase meets the now thawed out fish. So that's a sentence I wrote down. I hope you appreciate that.
I do.
Thank you. At the tower, Isaac tries to flirt with Angie, but she leaves, saying that she's over him. Genetically handsome white man bought 2000 and the workers from earlier blame Isaac for the fish, even though it was Dr. Whiting, but they're blaming Isaac anyway. So they'll bring his belongings back inside, but just admitting defeat. In the cafeteria, Angie tells everyone that she's now a vegan thanks to something that Isaac said earlier and refuses to cook meat. Everyone hates Isaac again. The end. There goes my notepad. Whee!
That actually felt a bit ahead of its time because, you know, everyone hates vegans now.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, oh, that's a bit different. It's a bit annoying you keep going on about it, but okay. But now it's like... How could you not eat meat? How dare you suggest I'm a bad person for liking burgers? Culture war!
How can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat?
I get this reference.
Yes! Do you have any thoughts on... Final thoughts on Ice, Mark?
It stood out as a different idea. I'll give it that. I didn't go, oh, not another sitcom based in an Arctic research station. You know, there's that going for it at least.
Just to show you how bad this is, Martin, it didn't even air. It's not like a lot of the other pilots that we've done that were bad, but they still put them on a Saturday night or something.
Yeah.
This didn't even get that. That's how bad it is.
I really thought there'd be more pilots that... maybe weren't great, but had interesting ideas, or, you know, might stand out, you know, for other reasons. And the vast majority of them, that's not actually been the case.
They have plots that they think are interesting, but what they really are plots that can't sustain more than one episode.
Yeah.
Which is not the same thing as interesting.
And what you've got to remember is it's not like there's the scripts and then they make the scripts. There were other scripts and they went, no, this is better than those other options. We'll make this one.
Yeah, it's baffling. Like, somebody actually put money into this. Someone read this and thought, yeah, that's funny.
This will make us money.
I can't even imagine reading the script and thinking that it was amusing.
No.
Because the one thing that made you laugh was a physical thing.
I'm ashamed.
That's okay, I forgive you. But it's not as though it was a funny line or anything that made you laugh.
No.
So there's just nothing to this at all. And since this episode is going to run under 30 minutes, Martin, let's talk about something else and I'll just add it in.
Tell me about Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Well, Hanna-Barbera started out in the 1930s, and they made Tom and Jerry shorts for cinema release. And then in the 1950s, because animation on the big screen was dying down, no one went to see the cartoons before the movies anymore. And because television started being a thing, they decided to make their own, have their own animation studio, but also start from... just making shorts. So Rough and Ready was the first cartoon that was made for the TV, and they were 5-minute shorts, but it was a continuing story. It was like to be continued. And then how long do I need to keep going doing this?
I remember when I was a kid, you'd get a lot of 1950s cartoons still would be shown on kids' TV. And some of them, like, they were clearly just the pile of cartoons that got shown in that time slot, and no one had checked what they were for decades. And, like, some of them would be, like, driving instructional films.
Yeah, Disney did a lot of stuff like Goofy.
And you'd be watching it, and you'd be like, what is this? Why are you telling me how to, you know, drive onto a highway and you have to speed up, and otherwise you'll cause a massive tailback?
Yeah. Are you having a party in your house?
Yes.
You didn't invite me.
The mic doesn't really usually pick stuff like that up.
So what are you having for dinner today then?
I'm not sure. We had Italian last night. The local Italian is doing takeaway.
All right.
So Laura had some pasta and I had a calzone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. We had, last night we had homemade curry.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. On Friday night, we got a chippy.
Nice.
Got, yeah. So, yeah, because our local chippy now delivers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get a wee Jimmy into this one.
No, you didn't.
It was so dull, there wasn't even an opportunity for that.
No, I know.
Oh, wee Jimmy wants a cold drink.
I do, actually. I'm just going to have a drink of water. That's quality podcasting for you. That's what gets me all the listeners, Martin.
Oh, that'll give us invitations to go exclusive on Spotify at no time. Yeah, they're going to be wanting us on Stitcher for this.
I'm already on Spotify and Stitcher.
Uh-oh. I don't know what Stitcher is, or Spreaker, or why you'd want any of that.
Well, Spreaker hosts my podcast, so that's why I use Spreaker.
Spreaker is my favourite of the options available. I will install it on my Android device. I think we got away with it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think we did. So that's all we have time for. I'd like to thank Martin for joining me once again.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I was just going to say, Martin's left. Ace has done Martin in.
You'll never take me alive, Rozzers!
Right. If you'd like to follow the podcast, at Drop the Pilot Pod, I have another podcast, So What's the Problem? And you can find that on shiftybench.co.uk, along with this one.
What is that, anyway?
So What's the Problem?
Yeah.
You should be listening.
You hadn't told me about this one.
Well, it's on my website, Martin. Yeah.
And coming soon from shiftybench.co.uk, Martin and Jimmy in the Best Friends podcast. You heard it here first.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, but years ago when you were on Extended Edition and you were disgruntled with Tom, I was just like, don't worry, Jimmy, we'll get our own podcast, and then mocked up an image of you and me, and it was like it was a picture of you in a t-shirt looking somewhat drab giving a thumbs up, and me in a tuxedo, and you were quite disgruntled at the apparent disproportional representation.
Well, it was intentional.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that I think people from the Glasgow region are working class. I'm just saying, are you wearing a tuxedo right now? I am.
Are you? No, you're not. I guarantee you're not wearing a tuxedo.
Bloody
right
am.
Now. No, you're not. And also, I'm naked, Martin. You know this about me. I podcast naked, so...
What the hell was the weird coda with her getting in the hot tub?
Oh, right, yeah, because... When the credits play, Genetically Handsome White Manbot 2000 and another guy, I think it's the guy with the blue hair, couldn't really tell. They're in the hot tub and the doctor comes up and tells them to put on eye masks.
Blindfolds, Jimmy.
But I think they're eye masks, like actual eye masks. Why would she have blindfolds?
Medical reasons.
Yeah, they would be eye masks, Mark.
So, a... adult woman who has spent the whole episode showing that she is not romantically interested in the main character then decides that upon his removing his sight, she's perfectly comfortable getting in a hot tub naked with him.
Yeah.
I've consulted my wife, and this isn't actually how human women think.
No. No, you can tell that this is written by men.
Yeah. Oh, you know what would be good, yeah? If a sexy doctor got in naked, yeah, and then You know what they do? What? Nothing.
So I wonder how they would have followed that up, isn't it, in the next episode. Apologist would have been reset and he would have just been pairing on her again and she would have been rebuffing him again. They probably wouldn't even mention the hot tub.
No. You know, he wouldn't have been like, so I'm really confused because you're telling me that you're not interested, but then you're having naked hot tubs with me, and that's a mixed message.
Yes.
And I really don't know where we stand on the issue of consent.
Although, Martin, she did get them to wear eye masks. So, you know.
Yes.
Where can the people find you on the internet, Martin?
At the Fowdor on Twitter.
Right. This is going to have some fucking editing. I need to have some editing prowess for this episode, Martin.
Oh, I really like the bit at the beginning with the... no, wait. I really like the bit now where the penguin walked through the Arctic research base. And now you have to cut that bit in a different bit as well.
No, I could just keep that in.
Oh, fuck.
Just keep that in.
Now you can't.
Well, can cut out that bit. We're just saying that I'll keep it in. Right, so I'd like to thank you all for listening and I'll speak to you all next time. Goodbye.
Yes, thank you both for listening.
Fuck you, Martin!